called Abdina de Malchus Adina. The concept appears in the Gemara in, among other places, Bava Kama Kuf Yud Gimel. In the list of the Marmakamas, it's number 6. The main idea that the Gemara brings out is that you have to pay taxes. And when the government takes away my automobile as collection of taxes and gives it to someone else, I can't ask them to give it back. I can't claim that they stole the automobile from me. The government had the right. The din is in Bavel. Shmuel lived in Bavel. He says the Goyish government has the right to take taxes if it's fair. If the taxes are not fair, that's called Gazlanusa de Malchusa, Chamsanusa de Malchusa, let's say, under the communists. So the Rabbanim used to say most of their laws were so unfair. That was Chamsanusa de Malchusa. But if the laws are fair, if they tax the Jews, if they tax one nationality more than another, or they tax one profession more than they don't like accountants or they don't like lawyers. So they tax the lawyers more than other people. That's not fair. If they have graduated taxes, the wealthy people pay a higher percentage than the poorer people. So many poskim say that that's reasonable. That's based on Mishnayos and Zroim. That's not Chamsanusa de Malchusa. That's considered fair. So the basic din of Dina Malchusa appears in the Gemara with respect to taxes. There's a famous Ran that in the Dorim Adav Chav Chesem at Aleph, where the Ran says that in Eretz Yisrael you don't have to pay tax, only in Chutz Lortz. The din only applies in Chutz Lortz. Why? The theory behind, that's the question, why does the government have a right to levy taxes? So the theory behind the Ran's understanding of taxation is that the country belongs, the Queen of England owns all the land in Britain. And the king of France owns all of the area in France. He has a right to charge you rent if you want to live in his country. So how much rent does he charge? He makes a whole system of income tax, but basically it's not income tax, but what shaykhah does he have with your income? He's charging you rent, and if you don't want to pay the rent, so you're stealing, you have no right to live in his country. So the Ran says, that's only by medvar mamurim if you live in France or England or in America. But if you live in Eretz Yisrael, Kidli Kol Haaretz, the Rebbe Shlom owns Eretz Yisrael, and he says, Kindalach, I want all the Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael, so who has the right to charge us rent? Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Rebbe Shlom. The Sfarno has like that, and the Pasuk in Parshas Behar, I think, Kidli Kol Haaretz, Ki Gerim Toshavim Atem Imadi. So the Pasuk Pshat, Kidli Kol Haaretz, God says, I'm the Balabos over the whole world. So the Sfarno says, no. Great Britain belongs to the Queen of England, and France belongs to the King of France. And Eretzel belongs to God. So God said, I want all the Jews to live in Eretzel. So no one has the right to charge any tax. So that Ran is not accepted. They mention it in passing in Shulchan Aruch, but it's not accepted at all. The Hepech, what you learn for Smicha, you'll get to come to the realization. Different parts of Shulchan Aruch are based on different Rishonim. If you're learning Yerodei Chelek Aleph, so much of Yerodei Chelek Aleph is based on the Torah Habayis LaHarashbo. Much of Chosh Mishpat is based on the Sefer HaTrumos, who was a Talmud of the Ramban. And much of the Shulchan Aruch all over the place, Tzitzis and Tefillin Hashem, much is based on the Rambam, word for word. The end of Hilchas Avelus, the end of Yerodei Chelek Gimel, is based on the Ramban. The Ramban wrote a whole Sefer Torah Sa'odom. So every section of Shulchan Aruch is based on other Rishonim. So when it comes to the end of Chosh Mishpat, when they quote the Din of Din and Malchus Adina, they're quoting verbatim from the Rambam. So the Rambam says, even a non-Jewish king in Chutz Lortz also has the right to levy taxes. The basic din is that the Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael has a right to levy taxes. So the Bir Hagro, the Vilna Goyen, on that simon says, the basis, the Meiri has this also, but more people know it from the Bir Hagro than from the Meiri on Sanhedrin. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the second parak has all the dinim of Melech. All the dinim of Melech and some of the dinim of Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara has, when Bnei Yisrael requested of Shmuel HaNavi, they'd rather have a melech instead of having a shofet. So he felt very hurt. What's wrong with me? I was an honest shofet. And he starts reading them the riot act. And he says, you don't want a melech. A melech is going to take your daughters as pilaks. We're going to draft you in the army. He's going to charge taxes. And he has a whole list of things. So that's called Parshas HaMelech. So the Gemara has Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel. What about all the things that Shmuel HaNavi mentions there? Kol ha'amah b'parshas melech. Melech mutaba, melech asaba. These are the evils of the king. The king does his shaloi kedin. Oh no, these are the legal rights of the king. So that's a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel. So we pass from like Shmuel, call home of Parshas Melech and Sefer Shoftim. Where is it? Sefer Shmuel. Sefer Shmuel. So Melech Mutabo. So one of the things that's mentioned is he's going to levy taxes. So the original din of levying taxes is the Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael. Who are the Nami, the king, a Goyishi king in any country in Chutz Lortz also has the right to levy taxes. And the Rambam, so the Shulchan Aruch clearly doesn't accept this Ram. The Ram says you don't have to pay taxes in that. So it clearly doesn't accept that. Because the original din, it's interesting, according to the Bir HaGro, according to this Meiri, it's Shmuel Lashitasa. Shmuel is the one that says din in the Malchus HaDin, that the king has a right to levy taxes. This is Lashitasa. That Shmuel says in the second parak in Sanhedrin that Kol Ha'amar B'Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo. It's surprising that according to Rab, the Melech Hasabo, so you don't have to pay taxes. I don't know. That's what the Vilna Gaon said. But we pass from like Shmuel that Kol Ha'amar B'Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo, you do have to pay taxes. Truth of the matter, even if you would adopt the position of the Ran, which is not the accepted opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, you still have to pay taxes in Eretz Yisrael. Because years ago, the Rambam writes the expression, whoever doesn't pay taxes is goizel menas ha-melech. He's stealing the portion of money that belongs to the king. He's stealing from the king. If it's a goyishi king, so it's a gezelakum. He's stealing from the goyishi king. You know, let us steal from the goyim either. Gezelakum is also asa. So that's b'medvar mamurim, that if you don't pay taxes, goizel menas ha-melech. A lot of people think that it's cute to cheat on income tax. So the din is that one who cheats on income tax should really be posel eidus. You got it? That's the original pasuk. Al tashi etcham rasha lias eit chamas. Eit chamas is a rasha de chamas, one who steals from someone else. If you don't pay the money that you owe the government, so you're stealing from the government. If a person cheats a little bit on income tax, so then we would probably pasken that is kosher eidus. Gemara says even if a person does averis, but he's moira heter. He says, look, the President of the United States cheats on income tax, and the Supreme Court judges cheat, and the governors and the mayor, they all cheat on income tax. Everybody cheats a little bit, so why can't I cheat also? So you know that it's wrong, but you're more ahead, you're talking into yourself, you can't be so big because everybody's doing it. So the Gemara says that if a person steals, and even though he knows that he's doing wrong, but he's more ahead, he talks it into himself, it's not so bad. So strictly speaking, he's kosher leidus, but it's still, he's in violation of gezel. So the Rambam writes this expression, when one who doesn't pay tax, gezel menas ha-melech, is stealing the money that belongs to the king. That's years ago that the taxes went to enrich the king. And the king didn't give any services at all. Or he gave services, but it didn't cost the... What we pay for taxes wasn't all used for the purpose of covering the budget. But Bizman Azeh, the payment of taxes in any democracy, the payment of taxes is not because of Din and Machusa. It's based on a different halacha. You look in the Mishnah Brura, and Hilchas Beis HaKnesses, and Hilchas Shliach Tzibur. So he quotes from Choshe Mishpat, there's a section of Choshe Mishpat that's called Hilchas Shluchim Meshutvim, the Din of Shutvim. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they assume that all the people who live in the city are considered shutvim together with respect to all of the needs of the city. Let's say one of the needs is, you need a mikveh, you need a shul, you need a library, svarim, you need schools, you need, let's say New York City, we have a lot of non-Jews, so the non-Jews want to have public schools. Even though the Jews don't use the public schools, but you go bus a raiv, so if the raiv of the people want to have public schools, so we're all mechuyev to pay for the public schools. It's a din of shutfis. In America, we pay three levels of tax, pay federal taxes and state taxes and municipal taxes, because we all shoot them on three different levels. There are certain things that the municipal government takes care of. Think garbage collection, water purification. If you don't collect the garbage, you can't live in New York City. So that's a necessity. So even if it's one Meshuggah, he loves to live in filth. But if the Reuver, the Shutfim, want to have garbage collection, so everyone is mechuyev to pay for that. If the Reuver, the people need a mikveh, this person is not religious, he doesn't need it. But all right, the people in a religious community need a mikveh, need a shul, and so on, so they can be koy for each other. That's a din of shutfus. Let's say you have a shutfus, five people joined together, they have a shoe store. They sell them shoes. And they did such a successful business, they want to open a branch in Paris and another branch in London. Instead of taking the profits this year from the rebach that they earned, they say they have a meeting, and four out of the five say, let's put all the profits back in, and next year we're going to make 10 times as much profit because we're going to open a branch in Paris and a branch in London. And one guy doesn't want to. So what's the din? Well, if you have a machlekes among the shulchan, so it says in Shulchan Aruch, in Chosh Mishpat, in Kvodot Tosefta, in Basra, I think, that you go Basarayv. How do you know you go Basarayv? So the Vilna Gaon writes in simplicity, it's a Pasuk in Pashat Mishpatim, Acharam Lahatas. Pasuk in Pashat Mishpatim is talking if there's a split vote in a business. So the Vilna Gaon learns that included in the Pasuk is if you have Shutvim in a business, and there's a machlekes, and you have a vote of all of the shareholders of the corporation. So you follow the rive. That's the also based on the pasuk acharam lahatas. So here in New York City, there are certain things that are taken care of by the municipality, garbage collection. Certain things are taken care of by the state. I don't know, forest, highways. Certain things taken care of. Let's say we need protection in case North Korea wants to drop a nuclear weapon. It's a nuclear bomb, so we need an army, we need a navy, we need mail delivery. Mail delivery is federal government. There are certain things taken care of by each one. So we're all shutvim together at three different levels. So we got to pay the three different levels of taxes. Usually shutvim is you entered into the shutvim. Five people are friendly from the yeshiva, so decide to go into this shoe store business together. Here, the Shulchan Aruch has a din, it's based on Tosefta, Brises, and the Gemara. All the people who are in a situation and they share they have certain needs in common. We all need mail delivery, we all need garbage collection, we all need water purification, so we have a din of Shutvim. The halacha makes us into Shutvim. So the Pashtus is that if you live in a democracy and the taxes that are collected only come to cover the budget. The government takes care of so many different things. So that's a din of shutvim. That's not a din of din of the machus adina. And even if one to hold like the Iran, that din of machus doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael, but you still have to pay taxes. And whoever doesn't pay taxes is not stealing from the government. It's stealing from me. Let's say you have the five shutvim, and we all decided, the four out of five decided that we're not going to take any profits this year. We're going to put all the money back into the business, or we should put in extra money in the business. And we're going to open a branch in London and Paris. We're going to make 10 times as much money next year. So one of the shutvim is a wise guy, and he takes his profits, and he doesn't put back the money. And he fools the others into believing that he did give in. So he's stealing from the others. He's not stealing from Anochri. He's stealing from the other shutvim. It's the United States. Whoever doesn't pay tax is stealing from me. All the people that cheat on income tax, stealing from those suckers who do pay tax. They make my tax higher because there's so many people cheating. So everybody else who does pay tax has to pay much more. So Bizman has said the whole din of taxation is not really based on din of machus adina, because you're not gozel menas hamelach. It's to cover the budget. It's a din of shutvin, that all the people who live in the city have a din of shutvin. So davar pashut, that din of machus adina doesn't apply in the area of isa v'heter. It only applies in the area of dini mamonis. Rabbi Soloveitchik told us he was once he used to travel back and forth between Boston and New York by plane. So he once was on a plane and he saw a certain Reform rabbi who was a prominent figure. So he was all enraged. Why they allow? Must have happened that week. Probably a woman remarried and she never got a get from the first husband. So he walked over to the Reform rabbi. It wasn't his style like this. Walked over and he says, I don't understand. How do you allow women to get remarried without a get? It's against the Pasuk Chumash. He said, Dr. Soloveitchik, I'm surprised at you. You don't know we had a convention whenever it was in 1928 and we voted. What do you mean you had a convention? You have no right to make a convention. Pasuk Chumash. He said, Dr. Soloveitchik, I'm surprised. It's based on the commuted victim, the Dina, the Mahusa Dina. So we followed the law of the land. So they got divorced in court. So since that's the law of the land, so we followed. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, so why do you make Seder Kiddushin? Why don't you just get married by the justice of the peace? Dr. Soloveitchik, I'm surprised you don't know the difference. When a couple gets married, you say a blessing. So you say bracha. So that's a religious act. So a religious act, you don't apply din and machus. When you get divorced, you don't say a bracha. So that's not a mitzvah. So there, you apply din and machus. So there is a difference. You say a bracha when you get married, and you don't say a bracha when you get divorced. The question why you don't say a bracha when you get divorced? It's also one of the 613 mitzvahs to do a get there properly. But it's still Yisav Heter. So this Dechemen has a piece about this. You don't apply din and machus adin in the area of Yisav HaHetah. Let's say there used to be blue laws. I don't think they have it in New York anymore. You used to have blue laws that you're not allowed to keep your store open on Sunday, and you are allowed to keep your store open on Saturday. Dina machus adina, so we're allowed to keep our store open on Shabbos, because the government said so. And we're not allowed to keep the store open on Sunday. So you're not allowed to keep your store open on Shabbos. Dina machus doesn't have any effect at all in Israel. Whether you do say bracha, you don't say bracha. It doesn't matter. Why you don't say bracha on a get is a good question, but it's still Yisra Heta. So this is one of the reasons why we don't apply dinah machus adina when it comes to Yerusha. Let's say a person dies. According to secular law, the sons and the daughters yarshin equally, and when a husband dies, so the wife gets the whole Yerusha. If there's no wife, then the children get it. In halacha, there is no such thing. The wife doesn't yarshin the husband. So if the husband wants his wife to get all the money, he has to make his chayvus. He has to make kinyonim before he dies to make sure that all the money goes to the wife. And in halacha, the daughter doesn't get the same as the son. So the Torah says that the sons get, the daughters don't get. So there are more quotes already from Hagos Maimini on the bottom of the Rambam. This used to cause friction. It still causes a lot of friction with Manazeh, that the daughters are angry at the father. Why didn't he see to it that I should get an equal share of the Yerusha? It says in the Chumash like that, but still it's painful. So in the days of the Ramah, they carried on the practice from the days of the Rishonim, they would make a shtar his chayvus. A person had assets, and he would be concerned that the daughters are going to feel hurt when he dies. They're not going to get anything. Sons are going to get. So they would give a shtar chatzi zocher. Each daughter would get as if she would be a half a son. In other words, each son gets a certain portion, and the daughter gets half that amount. So they say that Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, in our generation, that's not going to fly. The daughters are going to feel hurt. So you have to make sure the sons and the daughters get an equal share. So in Choshimish, but they have in Hilchas Nachlas, and that's Simon towards the end of Choshimish. But the Ramah has a lot of details how you arrange for that. To see to it that when it comes time for the Yerusha, the daughter should get an equal share. If you want to see to it that your wife gets the money. So the Shulchan Aruch tells you how to arrange for that. So why don't we talk? This is Dinim Aminus, and Dinim Aminus, we do follow Dinim Achusim. So why don't we follow over here? So there are two good reasons. So one reason is, the Rambam quotes a drasha. We don't know where the Rambam got it from. It's not in the Gemara. The pasuk says in the parsha of Nachlas, "Vayisazos lachem luchukas mishpat." Mishpat usually means dinim amnes, and chuka usually means isaveta, like zos chukas atara for aduma. So the Rambam says, even though Yerusha is an inyan of dollars and cents, it's a question who's going to get how much money, but the Torah calls it chukas mishpat. We treat it as if it were isaveta. Negeah to the following din. The din he's quoting is a Gemara in Yesh Nechlin, in Bava Bas and Perak Yesh Nechlin, but the drasha that he quotes, we don't have. So the din is that Masa Mashakas Batar B'Dovashe B'Momen Tanoi Kayim, and Masa Mashakas Batar B'Isa V'Heter is not valid. An example, let's say a couple gets married, and the boy's in the Israeli army, and he, Rahman al-Atslan, he may get killed. They have a lot of young almanas in Eretz Yisrael. The husband got killed before they had a chance even to have any children, so she needs chalitza. So chalitza is a pain in the neck to go. Sometimes the brother's not religious. Sometimes the brother refuses to do chalitza. He wants to hold up to his sister-in-law for money. So let's say the couple gets married and he says, I am mekodeshesli on the Tanai. If I die leaving no children, you won't need chalitza. So the Shulchan Aruch gives that as an example. The Deva should be Yisra, the Tanai Batla Maisekab, the Kedushin is Chal, and the Tanai is not valid. Let's say, I read Mekodeshesli on the condition that if the marriage doesn't work out in the first 2 years, we should need a get. But there is no such thing. You can't make such a Tanai. The Din says that if you're married, you need a get. So Masa Mashkas Batari in the area of Yisra Vehta doesn't work. What about Masa Mashkas Batari in the moment? There it's Tanai Kayim. Let's say a fellow is a Shamachinam. Let's say a fellow is a Shemesocher and is Chayiv in Grev Aved, and he says, I accept to be a Shemesocher, I don't want to be Chayiv in Grev Aved. So that's the din. Master Shemesocher is part of the Grev Aved. So the reason why is because we distinguish between the Imam and the Sinisa Behata. So let's say you'll have a situation, a Masa Mashkos Batorah in Hilchas Yerusha. So the Rambam quotes the Mishnah in Yesh Nechlin that you cannot make such a Tanai. So the Gemara gives one explanation. The Rambam gives a totally different explanation based on a pasuk. He must be quoting some drasha somewhere. We don't have it. There's a fat sefer that was published seven years ago by Mosada Rav Kook, that's called HaMedrash HaGadol. This drasha appears in the Medrash HaGadol, but the Medrash HaGadol was written by somebody who took it from the Rambam. The Rambam didn't take it from the Medrash HaKol. So we don't know what the original source is. So there's a, the Rambam has a drush on the pasuk. Even though Yerusha is davus and sentence, should be treated like dinim mamis, but the pasuk says, we treat Yerusha like Yisra the Heter, and Masna Mashkaz Matar is not valid. You cannot make it tonight. So because the Rambam, there's such a thesis in Ksubis also, so because we treat Yerusha, Nachlis, and Yoni Nachlis, we treat it as if it were Yisra the Heter, that's one reason why we don't allow Din and the Malchusa. You can't just rely on whatever the secular law is in your country for Hilchas Yerusha. That's what you follow. Din and Malchusa doesn't apply in Yerusha because it's considered Isra Heta. It's not considered Din and Malchusa. Number two, there are more quotes in Choshen Mishpat. Din and Malchusa Dina only applies if at least one of the parties involved is a non-Jew. If all the parties involved are Jewish, so let's say I crashed into your car and I'm an Adam Amazik, and they're a dinim when you have to pay. Ganav, they're a dinim when you pay. Karen, Kefal, Dal, hey, the laws that we don't follow. Whenever all the parties involved are Jewish, you don't apply dinim, machusa dinim. There are more quotes, the Lashon from the Chuvas HaRashba, you can take the whole Chosh Mishma and throw it in the garbage. What do you need a whole Chosh Mishma? Dinim machusa? Whatever the government says. So the answer is, whenever there's a non-Jew involved, then you apply din in the whenever the both parties are non-Jewish, or one of the parties is non-Jewish, then you apply din in the machusa. Whenever all the parties involved are Jewish, by Yerusha, all the parties involved are Jewish, and din in the machusa does not apply. There was a young Talmud Chacham who lived in Tzvat during the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Karo, Rabbi Yontov Tzahalon. He's known as Mari Tatz. There were two contemporaries with the Rosh Hashanah, Mari Tatz. And one was Rabbi Yosef Tai Tatzak. He was older. He was a rabbi in Constantinople. He was a big tzaddik. He also had a magid, like Rabbi Yosef Kara had a magid, who was the Mishnah. So the Mari Tatz, Tai Tatzak, had a magid who told him Tanakh. I don't know what that means. A malach who taught him Torah. So he, that was one Mari Tatz. And then younger than him, a younger contemporary, was Rabbi Yontov Tzahalon, who he was involved when, after Rabbi Yosef Kara passed away, there was an issue. One of his sons passed away and left no children, so they needed Yibum or Chalitza, so it was a whole issue. So he wrote a knockout tshuva. He was a young man. He wrote a tshuva that everybody realized what a big Talmid Chacham he was. And he wrote many tshuvas. So in one of his tshuvas he writes, he was sent by the Rabbanim at Tzvat to visit the Arab countries, neighboring Eretz Yisrael, where many Jews live there, to tell them that they're not allowed to rely on the din of the Malchusa as far as Yerusha is concerned, because he gave the second reason, not the first. He doesn't say because it's Yisra V'Heter. He says since all the parties involved are Jewish, so din of the Malchusa doesn't apply. So in Yerusha, we don't follow din of the Malchusa. You have to follow the din of HaTor, because all the parties involved are Jewish. Years ago, there used to be a shtick. 90 years ago in New York, there used to be a shtick. Jewish landlords owned apartment buildings that would only rent to Jews. They wouldn't rent to non-Jews. And they would have factories that would only hire Jews and not non-Jews, because there were government laws about minimum wages, what you have to pay. And there were government laws about rent control. You can't rip the people off. So they planned to violate the laws. They were not going to pay the minimum wages. They were not going to observe the laws of rent control. So the shtick was, Dina Machusa doesn't apply when all the parties involved are Jewish. Only if one of them is non-Jew. So they said, we don't have to pay the minimum wages. That's Dina Machusa. Doesn't apply because everybody's Jewish. And the rent control doesn't apply because we're all Jewish over here. So at that time, before Moshe Feinstein came on the scene, the big Pesach here in New York and America was Rabbi Henkin. So they're publishing now, they're collecting all of his tshuvas from all over, they're reprinting them. So he wrote a tshuva at that time that's not correct. Dina Machusa doesn't apply when all the parties involved are Jewish. Means the regular laws, they have the government, New York State has laws. They have laws on the books of Yerusha, Mazik, and Chayvel and Halvor. Those laws don't apply. But if the government makes a law, Letikon Hamdina, that people shouldn't rip each other off, they're maximum there's rent control. They don't want the landlord to rip off the tenants. or let's say on necessities. If you're selling ice cream or chocolate, you can charge whatever you want. But if you're selling cheese or milk or meat or eggs, things that people need, butter, bread, food that people need. So the government used to make laws. I don't know if they still do. You're not allowed to charge too much because those are necessities. So that's the role of the government. Melech b'mishpat yamid eretz. The role of the government is to maintain law and order, that people shouldn't rip each other off. People shouldn't. If you don't, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, have a mispal bishlan mishal malchus shal molem meroy yishu suriyeh uchayim below. People would swallow each other up like the fish in the sea if there wouldn't be a government. So the role of the government is to see to it that it won't be yishu suriyeh uchayim below. So that role of the government, that's not that one of the seven mitzvahs of Inanoich is dinim, that they have to introduce a system of law. No. That's melech mimish b'yam and eretz. There's a long tshuva in Avnei Nezer. All the tshuvas in Avnei Nezer have numbers, and this tshuva has a number, and it has a title. The title is Sheish Maivas Lakisa. Very fascinating tshuva. A rabbi passed away, and there was an asik in the community whether they should hire, as it's been Malay Mokam, usually it was traditional in Europe that there was Yerusha by a rabbanus. So they were considering the son and the son-in-law of the rabbi. So the shaila was, what do you mean the son-in-law? The daughter, Yashin, is the rabbanus from his father. There ain't no such thing as a woman rabbi in the days of the Adonais. Maybe today would be a different tshuva. So he has a beautiful tshuva. Sheish malas lakisa. Shlomo HaMelech had a throne which had six steps. He had to climb up the six steps. So his tshuva is divided into six sections. Who gets to rise to the throne of the Rabbanus in the city? So he calls it the Sheish Malas Lakisa. So the first section is he discusses whether there is Yerusha by Rabbanus. And once he's overcome that hurdle, then he discusses who has the right to the Yerusha. It doesn't make sense. The son-in-law should Yarshin. The son-in-law gets Yerusha through the wife, and the wife can be a rabbi. So he has a beautiful tshuva. So part of that tshuva, he speaks about what does it mean. There's Yerusha by Malchus. There's no Yerusha by learning Torah, but there's Yerusha by Malchus. So what about Rabbanus? So he says Rabbanus is really Man Malchi Rabbanan. Rabbanus is really like Malchus. The main role of the rabbi is not so much the Paschal Shavuos. All the Shavuos are taken care of in the Shulchan Aruch and all the Tshuvos for. The role of the rabbi is to maintain law and order in the community. That's Rav Chaim Soloveitchik felt. The main role of the rabbi is to be an Isha Chesed, to run all the chesed projects in the community, not so much the paskan shan. Rav Chaim hardly paskan any shan. He had a dayan. So what was the role? What is it? What did he do for a living? He just gave two drushes a year. Shabbos HaGadol, Shabbos Shuva, that was all. So all year long he was busy taking care of chesed. So that's the thrust of the tshuva. In the Avnei Nezer, he quotes Radaks, and he quotes Abarbanels, and he quotes Rosh of Saran. He quotes a lot to substantiate this. The main role of the government is melech min mishpat yamin eretz. We have a din, Hefker Bezen Hefker. So there's a major tshuva, the very first tshuva in the Dvar Avram. Dvar Avram died in the middle of the Second World War. He was the Rav in Kovna. He was the Kovna Rav. He had learned in Valozhin under Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Every so often in his tshuvas, he quotes Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. And he was related to the Soloveitchik family. So the first tshuva in the first volume is about Dina, the Malchus of Dina. He has a couple of very important things. And one of the important things he has is that Hefker Bezna Hefker is basically an application of the principle of Dina, the Malchus of Dina. The real ruling is Dina, the Malchus of Dina. The government has a right to declare whatever they want. And if the government isn't doing a good job of doing it, maintaining law and order, then Hefke Bezna Hefke. Then the Bezna has a right to act as if they are the melech. The koyach of Hefke Bezna Hefke is not because they're Talmid Chachamim, it's because they have the role like a melech. So that's this tshuva in Avnei Nezer, has this whole tshuva. Melech min mishpat yamid eretz, that's the main role of the king. So Rav Tenkan has the tshuva, he says that's not correct. That if all the parties involved are Jewish, you don't apply din in the Malchusa. That means if it's faulty merchandise that he sold. So we have laws in Chashmish, but Mekachdos, and the Galician government has a legal system. So if all the parties involved are Jewish, we follow the Jewish dinim. You don't follow the secular law. But if the government instituted rent control and minimum wages and maximum prices for necessities, milk and cheese and bread and so on, that's binding on the Jews also. That is the role of the king. That's the role of the government. They have to do like that. But that's a major tshuva that Rav Henkin wrote, and that's, I think, that is accepted. We assume like that.
So, Rabbi's saying,
according
to Penkin, that the rent control between two Jews would apply.
Would apply.
If, let's say, a Jew and a non-Jew, but the non-Jew is willing to be masking beforehand, and it'll enter with rent control, or non-Jewish worker is willing to work with below minimum wage, so could you make a tie there, possibly?
Yeah, you could. The government may have rules that that's not valid. They have the right to make such a... Yeah, they can prevent you if they say so. If they don't say so if someone is mevater on his rights, that he has a right to be mevater. But it could be the government will include a clause that even if someone is mevater, we don't accept it because people are going to be in need of a job. So they'll agree to unreasonable conditions, and that's not right. So it could well be that the government would include in the minimum wages law that even if the worker is meichel, his mechila is not valid. The government has the right to make such a statement. If they don't make such a statement one way or the other, then the one who is being protected by the law has the right to say, I'm meichel on my rights.
How far do we take this rule? Do we think that the government's role is to control, let's say, traffic? So if I don't follow, let's say, a jaywalk, so is that...
The government has an obligation to introduce a system. The Gemara in Sanhedrin learns that from the Pasuk Tzedek Tzedek Tirdat on Daf Lamed Beis on Beis. So the Gemara learns out a few things. That one thing is that if you have a crossroad and it's going to be a balagan, it's going to be kol hakadim zocha. Whoever's going to be the most aggressive driver will always get his way. And the nice guy, the quiet guy, will stand there for an hour. He won't be able to move. So the government has an obligation to introduce a system of red lights and green lights, to have a policeman stand there and give permission to this one to go in a fair fashion. So you're not allowed to violate that the other person's right. You're stealing the schus from the other person. The other person has a green light. You have a red light. I'm going to cross the street when I have a red light. So I'm stealing the right of the cars to go. Even if I'm not stealing, I'm running across the street, I'm stealing the right of the driver to drive calmly without being nervous. You see someone walking across the street, he's already starting to get nervous. He may not walk fast enough, and I'm going to have to slow down. So you have no right to steal the schus. The government has the right to establish who has the schus, red light, green light, who has the schus to go. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning, there's nobody there, so strictly speaking, the government has no right. They shouldn't make a loy plume. They will, though. They'll give you a ticket if you cross through a red light even 3 o'clock in the morning. Unless your wife is having a baby, then they'll help you go through the red light. But they'll give you a ticket. So that, pashtus, they don't have the right to do. They make a loy plug.
So with this, if there's the government did not include a clause, perhaps we should still not allow it. The Rabbanim should still protect it. Why? Because the two parties are not on equal ground. So that's a problem. You know, they could take advantage.
Right. So it's a good idea that they should introduce such a clause that no one has the right to be Michael.
Because, right, and the Rabbanan have the right to step in if the law did not step in.
If they feel that the government should have made such a law and they didn't, so then Hefker Bezna Hefker, they can take the place of the Din and the Machus.
So
they can
act. Clause.
Yeah. So this is a Klal Nechosh Mishpah. Whenever all the parties involved are Jewish, then we don't follow Din and the Machus. Rav Henkin said, unless there was a Din and the Machus, not a legal system. Unless they make a takona, letikin amdina, so that does apply. The Shach writes, Shach and Chosh Mishpat is a major commentary, Yeridei as well. So the Shach and Chosh Mishpat gives, there are two exceptions to the rule, where dina machos adina does apply, even though all the parties involved are Jewish. So one exception to the rule he has, this he writes on his own, he doesn't quote Rishonim. One exception to the rule is, if the halacha has nothing to say on the case. So that's what some of the Rabbanim in our generation say. Corporations, there's nothing in halacha about corporations, or stocks and bonds, or these kind of things that didn't exist in the days of Gemara. Halacha has nothing to say. So then we do follow din and machus. So the Chazon Ish quotes this passage from the Shach. He says, there is no such thing. The halacha has something to say about every case. You have to break your head and figure out. The halacha has something to say about everything. A couple of years ago, there was some super genius came here. I'm not sure. I think from MIT or from Yale. I forgot his name. He had the patent on the Kindle. He has patents on a lot of things. The Kindle that people sit on the trains and they read things and they turn the pages. So he said he came here to give a lecture to try to hijack. He wanted to get some of the students to do work for him, to join his graduate program in MIT, I think it is. So he told us his first love was law. He went to law school. And then he got bored from the law school, and then he went in physics, and he did all these things. And now he's doing genetic engineering. So they're trying to take genes from animals and put them in vegetables, genes from vegetables, put them in animals, all kinds of complicated things. When he came to visit the yeshiva to speak that time, he's a Baal Tshuva. He learns Daf Yomi every day, so he only came on the condition that one of the boys would learn him. That day is Daf Yomi with him. Interesting person. So he was telling us that when he, and the Daf Yomi was learning the end of Chulin, so there's a Mishnah there about the Mishnah, the Tanoim thought that there's such a thing. It's in Greek, Baba Mises, it doesn't exist. Human being that grows from the ground. There is no such thing. So the Mishnah has the dinim of such a person. So he says, he said, it doesn't exist yet. He's working on it. He's trying to mix the genetic engineering. He's trying to, it may yet happen, that so far it doesn't exist. So he made an interesting comment. He said, well, his first love was law. He went to law school. He said he realized he can draw up a contract between two parties that will not be covered by the din of the Malchusa. And when he started to study Gemara years later, when he got interested in Shmiras HaMitzvahs, he says he realizes on Halacha there is no such thing. That every single case is covered by the Halacha. The Mishnayos are so detailed and the Gemara is so detailed. Taisus writes like that, the beginning of Ksubis. There's a Machlokes Rashi and Taisus, what is Goylo V'Doifik? Ames is Metami and Goylo V'Doifik is also Metami. So Rashi learns Goylo V'Doifik is the lid of the coffin and the boards, the sideboards on the coffin. And Taisus disagrees with Rashi, and Taisus says Goylo V'Doifik means the tombstone. How do they prove it? Because the Gemara in the first Perek in Erev, and I think that Daf Yud Gimel, the Gemara talks about using a live animal as a Goylo V'Doifik. So Taisus says, if it means a tombstone, so sometimes you bury a person, you don't have a tombstone ready, you just buried them today. So you bang a peg in the ground, you tie a cow, and you know that this is where Pliny is buried, and tomorrow, next week, we're going to take the cow away, we're going to put a tombstone. So it's shy to talk about using a live animal as a tombstone. But according to Rashi, the Goylo V'Doifik means the lid of the coffin or the sideboards. So who's going to use, which Meshuggah is going to use a live animal for Goylo V'Doifik? And then Taisus says it's not a kasha against Rashi. The style of the Gemara is to cover every case in the world. It was never going to happen in a million years because we want to ascertain what the din is, and they prove it because the Gemara has a ridiculous discussion that will never happen in a million years. A cow is pregnant, and they took the fetus and they put it into the uterus of a different cow. So Taisus says, it's never going to happen in a million years. Now it happens by Simcha Yom. They do it all the time. They take it by women, by cows. They take a fetus from one cow, they put it into the body of another cow. But Taisus writes like that. So he says he realizes like that. And Halacha, there's no such thing that Halacha doesn't have anything to say about this case. That's what the Chazanish time is against that Shach. What does the Shach say? Whenever the Halacha has nothing to say, then we follow the Din of Machlus, even though all the parties involved are Jewish. The Halacha always has something to say. The Halacha says that you're Chayv or you're Potter. You just have to, you don't know what the Halacha is. It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, so break your head and figure out what the Halacha is. So the Chazanish rejects that Shach. He says that doesn't exist. No such thing, a case where the Halacha has nothing to say. The other Shach says there's an exception to the rule. When all the parties involved are Jewish, that we do follow Din and Machusa. When is that? He says, this he quotes the Mordechai. The Mordechai quotes Balei HaTosfos. So the Mordechai says, if a person deals in business, has a store, deals in business with Jews and non-Jews, so when a non-Jew comes in, he knows, the storekeeper knows all the Din and Machusa. He knows all the laws, what right the customer has, what rights the merchant has. So then when the Jew comes in, he has to screw his head on differently and he has to have in mind what the Din HaTorah is to make different conditions when he sells. And every time a customer comes in, you have to ask, are you Jewish or non-Jewish? A guy comes in without a yarmulke, you don't know if he's Jewish or non-Jewish. So the Shach quotes from the Balei HaTosfos, if one deals in business the Jews and non-Jews, since when he deals with the non-Jews, it's obvious that he's going to follow din the machusa. So it's as if there is an umder de muchach that even when he deals with the Jews, he's also going to be following din the machusa. So whatever is an umder de muchach is considered kilu hisnu, as if they made it tonight. Kol tarasha memamet kaim. Let's say two people join to make a shutvus, or we get into some contractual agreement. You're going to work for me, or you're going to sell me some merchandise, and I make it tonight in advance. In case there's any sichsuch, I want to follow din and machusa. I want to follow the laws of New York State. I don't want to follow chashim ish. Isn't that? You can make whatever tonight you want and din imamenes. Masna mashakas vatar din imamenes is tonight kaim. So even if you never made such a tonight. But Hakol Kamidin Kamdina. The Mishnah has a lot of times Hakol Kamidin Kamdina. Why is Hakol Kamidin Kamdina? Whatever the Minin Kamdina is considered Kilu Hisnu. So a Jew who deals in business with Jews and non-Jews, the Minin Kamdina is that he deals with the Jews also based on Dina the Machusa. So that becomes the Dina Torah. So the Chazanish says, that becomes the Dina Torah now, because since that's the Minin Kamdina, Hakol Kamidin Kamdina is considered Kilu Hisnu. So now the Bezdin, if they go to a Din Torah to a Bezdin has to pass and according to Din in the Malchus. They have to know Din in the Malchus. Some of the Hungarian rabbis in New York say that only a rabbi from YU who went to university would say such a thing. But that's what the Chazon Ish said. Chazon Ish didn't go to YU, didn't go to university. That's the Din of Choshen Mishpat. Whatever is the Minin Kamdina, if the Minin Kamdina is you follow secular law, people in business, a lot of times. They deal with Jews and non-Jews, so they always follow secular law. So even when they deal with Jews, we follow Din of the Machusa because consider Kilu Hisnu. And if Hisnu, then the Din would require that you have to follow the Din of the Machusa. Dinim is one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach. So the Pashtus is, the Rambam says Dinim is they have to establish but the Dinim and they have to establish a legal system. They have to have a legal code. That shouldn't be hefker. The society shouldn't be hefker. So that's a shada. That's what it really means. Every country has the right to establish their own system of dini mamon. So there's a Chuvas Ramor. Ramor lived in Krakow, in Poland. Ramor had a cousin who lived in Italy. Maran Padua was a cousin of the Ramor. So the Maran Padua, they had printing presses in Italy, so the Maran Padua went to Shutfitz for the non-Jew. He reprinted an edition of the Rambam, and he wrote his Hagos on the bottom of the page. We have them in every edition of the Rambam. You have the Magen Mishnah, the Kesem Mishnah, the Lecha Mishnah, and the Mishnah Melech, and the Migdolos, and everybody. But then you have, on the bottom of the Rambam, before you get to anybody, once every couple of pages, you have a tiny, tiny letters. It says Turcha Shemishpat Siman, whatever. Or it says Tzorch Lios, or in the Kisva Yad, it says like this. That's called the Hagos of the Maran Padua. So the Maran Padua put out this new edition of the Rambam. He was selling it. So then another non-Jew decided to reprint the Rambam. And he didn't have the Hagos of the Maran Padua. And he was selling it for a lower price than the Maran Padua was selling his Rambam for. So the Maran Padua asked his cousin, the Ramor, can you write a psak that no one's allowed to buy from the guy who printed the Rambam afterwards because I'm going to lose a fortune of money. I invested a lot of money to print this Rambam and I got to recover the money that I invested in the printing of my edition. And he wants to make a little profit also. So the Ramor wrote a whole tshuva. I think it's a little unfair. He never wrote that it's for his cousin. He never. Maybe everybody knew that they were cousins. I would think that he should have disclosed that it's his cousin who pinned. He's writing a tshuva to support his cousin, Maran Padua. So he writes a whole tshuva with six different reasons why no one's allowed to buy the Rambams from the second printing that the Goy printed. Everybody has to buy these Rambams that his cousin printed. So he has six different reasons. One of the reasons is very questionable. One of the reasons he writes is that when the non-Jews have to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs, B'nech, they have a mitzvah of Dinim, so he quotes a Ramban al Torah on Parshas Vayishlach. The dinim means they have to observe all the chof dalet ovis nezikin. So the Ramor understands that to mean whatever it says in Chosh Mishpat, all the goyim have to follow. They have no right to make their own shulchan. They have no right to make their own legal code. They have to follow everything that it says in Chosh Mishpat. So since it says in Chosh Mishpat, this is a quirk. This din should have really been in Yeridaya, but it happens to be in Choshen Mishpat, that there's a Gemara in Bava Basra in the second parak that if, let's say, two people come to town selling cosmetics. The days of the Gemara, they had, I remember when I was a little boy, full of brush man, would ring your doorbell and try to sell you cosmetics, a toothpaste, or toothbrushes, all kinds of junking things. They used to go around, traveling from one city to the other, knocking on your door and trying to sell merchandise. I haven't seen it in the last century. But when I was growing up, that's what they did. So the Gemara has a din. If two people come to town, they're both selling the same cosmetics or the same junky stuff, whatever. One is a Talmid Chacham, one is a Balabas. So Naktina Leshuka, you have to let the Talmid Chacham sell out his merchandise first. So later on he'll be able to sit and learn. The Amoritz is not going to learn anyway, but everybody has an obligation to see to it that the Talmid Chacham should learn if he has free time. To let him sell all of his time first. So this din is quoted in the Choshen Mishpat. So the Rama writes, surprisingly Rama, he says, since dinim of the Sheva Mitzvah requires that the non-Jew should follow everything that it says in Choshen Mishpat, so the non-Jew has the din of Naktina Leishuka. So the second printer, the guy who printed the Rambam second, and is selling it for less than the first printing that the Rambam part of it, with his guy, Yishuv printer, printed the Rambam. So he's not allowed to sell his Rambam until the Maran Padua sells good. Maran Padua is a Talmid Chacham, and the Goyim are obligated to observe every din of Choshen Mishpat. This din happens, it's a quirk. Happens to be a Choshen Mishpat. It belongs in Yeridaya, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Kavod Talmid Chacham, but because it's in Choshen Mishpat. So that's very questionable. The Pashtas, we assume, really not like that Rambam. He has another five reasons why he thinks no one should buy the second edition of the Rambam, they should buy the Maran Padua. But that reason is very questionable, that the Goyim don't have a right to make their own legal system. They're every country, they make their own legal system. Choyvul Amazik in Alvois, and Mekach HaMemka, and Mekach Tois, every country makes their own. There is an interesting din in the Gemara in the end of Bava Kama. The Gemara says, what if a Jew and an Oved Avod Zarah come to you for a din Torah? So the Gemara says, how should the Bezin paskin? So the Gemara has a strange, unfair din. The Gemara says, if we'll follow halacha, the Jew will win, so we follow halacha. If we'll follow secular law, the Jew will win, then we follow secular law. Are you talking, what kind of business is that? So the Rambam explains, it's not if there's a Jew and a non-Jew. The Jew and an Oved Avod Zarah. We're gunning out to punish the Oved Avod Zarah. He's in violation of the Sheva Mitzvah. He worships Avod Zarah. So the real din should have been whenever there's one, at least one of the parties involved is an non-Jew, you follow din of the Malchus. The halacha should have been din of the Malchus. But if one of the parties involved is an Oved Avod Zarah, then we want to penalize him. So in whatever way we concede to it that he should lose, then we pass him that he should lose. But if the both parties are Oved Avod Zarah, or if it's a Jew and a non-Jew, so then you just follow din of the Machusa. The Bezin, they came to a Jewish Bezin, the Bezin has the Paskin based on din of Machusa, because din of Machusa, din of Machusa is binding whenever at least one of the parties involved is a non-Jew. People make a mistake, they think that you're allowed to sue another Jew in court because din of Machusa, din. That's not correct, that's a din of Arkois. Din Machus Adina does not mean that you're allowed to sue a Jew in court. That's the opening pasuk. You have to go for a din Torah to a Jewish court. So years ago, sometimes the Goyish court wouldn't be secular, it would be a religious Goyish court. The government was controlled by some Catholic religion, and the courts were sponsored by the Catholic religion. So that's even a bigger avera, is if you're giving a chashivas to the Avodah Zarah. But Rav Herzog, who was the chief rabbi at the time of HaKomis HaMedina in 1948, Rav Herzog published a lot about the Jewish jurisprudence in English. He was from Ireland. He knew English well. And so he's marich on this, that the prohibition of our course applies. It's still an issa deraisa to go to the secular court, even if it's not sponsored by any religion. There is no ilui. You're awesome. You're not giving chashivas to the Avodah Zarah, but still, you're not allowed to go to a secular court. And then he says, and it's a bigger avera if you have Jewish judges and they paskan based on secular law. That's in Eretz Israel, unfortunately. Right after Hakamas Amadina, Sir Herzog was waiting for Ben-Gurion to call him up on the phone that he should help the institute, the founder of the legal system, the court system. He's still waiting. He never called him on the phone. He was so disappointed. He thought for sure they're going to call him because he had published books in English about Jewish jurisprudence, about Dinim Ominous. Unfortunately, in Eretz Yisrael, the secular courts follow Turkish law, British law, Arab law, everything but Jewish law. I think they only have adopted that's Mishpat Ivri. They had people working on Mishpat Ivri. How would we present the dinim and Chosh Mishpat in the modern society? So that's called Mishpat Ivri. So the government, the Knesset, only adopted Mishpat Ivri on Hashavas Aveda. That's all. What about the rest of Chosh Mishpat? The rest of Chosh Mishpat, they follow the Arabs, the Turkish law, the British law, everything but the Jewish law. So that's Rav Herzog wrote. That's also an Issur HaKos. That's a bigger Issur. If you have Jewish judges, a Jewish state and Jewish judges, and the Paskin based on secular law, that's a bigger Averit. It's a Chil Hashem. So there is an Issur HaKos. You're not allowed to go to secular court. If you're suing a non-Jew, you can go to secular court, but two Jews are not allowed to go. That's not covered with the Dina and Machlis HaDina. What if the two Jews, they're not observant, they went to secular court, and the judge Paskin, whatever he Paskin, based on secular law. And then later on, one of them realizes, hey, he wasn't supposed to go to secular court. He becomes a Baal Shula, whatever, and he wants to go to a Bezin. So the Chazon Ish has a very strong piece on this. He says, once you went to the secular court and the judge Paskin, the Psak is, that's Dina the Machusa. The Dina Machusa, Dina is an abstract. If one of the parties involved, all the parties involved, the non-Jews, the law that applies is secular law, Dina Machusa, and then there's another din, Dina Machusa. If the judge paskan on your case, so they paskan, like Hefke Bezna Hefke, whatever they paskan. Hefke Bezna Hefke is an extension of Dina Machusa. That's what the Rav Ram showed from the Tosfos in the first paper in Sanhedrin. Yeah. Sometimes the Chazon Ish says, based on Cheshmer, sometimes the Bezna will decide to penalize the Jew who won the court case in secular court, because he went to secular court. He shouldn't have gone. But let's say they both wanted to go to secular court. So why should they penalize him? They both agreed. They're both non-observant. They both went to secular court. So the Bezdin's not going to penalize anybody. And once the government, once the court gave a psak, so the psak is binding. That you're mechuyif to follow that psak. That's like hefke bezna hefke. That becomes the psak. Chazon Ish explains in the first perek in Gittin, the Gemara has a machlekes. A Jew is selling karka to another Jew, and he sold it al yidei shtar, and the shtar was ola be'arkos. The shtar wasn't a kosher shtar. The witnesses were non-Jews. It was written, the whole shtar, the document was written, filled out by a non-Jewish court. So the Gemara has a machlokes, do you apply the original memory, dina machus adin, is about paying taxes. The Gemara has a machlokes, what about shtori mamen, shtori kinyan, hoylem bar koish on nochem? Is that also included in dina machus? Why should that be included? So the Chazon Ish explains, he has a long Rabbeinu Yoinen, Baba Basran, he explains it, explains Rabbeinu Yoinen, he says, if two Jews would go to secular court and the judge gives a psak, that's hefke bezn, whatever the court paskin, that's binding. Unless Bezim will decide to penalize them, and they won't always want to penalize the guy. They both did Sholei Kedin. They both wise guys. Both wanted to go to secular court. But over here, they never went to the court for a psak. They went to the court before they made the kinyan. They went to the secular judge, to the Goyisha court, that he should make a kinyan for them. So the Chazon Ish explains, that's the machlokes and the Gemara in the first parak in Gittin around Daf Yud. You consider going to court to fill out the document, the Shtar Mechira, you consider that as if you asked the court for a psak and he gave a psak? Oh, no. The document was filled out before there was any issue later on. So maybe that's not considered as if a psak was given. Maybe that's considered, does the secular law apply to Jewish people? And we say no. Whenever both parties involved are Jewish, the secular law doesn't apply. But here they went to court to fill out the document. So is that considered as if there was a psak on the case? Oh, no. No psak was issued. Just the judge filled out the document. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. There is an Indian of Dina the Machus Adina with respect to minting coins. in the list of marmakams, this is number two. The shach is not in Choshen Mish, but it's in Yeridah, in Hilchas Ribis, middle of Hilchas Ribis. This is an issue. Let's say I borrowed shkolim from you, and then I borrowed 10,000 shkolim and I have to pay back, but the shkolim keep on depreciating in value. Or let's say I borrowed dollars, and the dollars depreciate in value, so I'm going to pay you back 20 years later. The dollars don't have the same value, so the dinim and the gemara, dinim and shulchan aruch. Al pidin, the money stays the same value. Real estate is more expensive, automobiles are more expensive, clothing, food, everything is more expensive. How come everything is more expensive? So the teretz is that because the value of money went down. It's one teretz on all the cash. How come the price of food went up and the price of clothing went up? One teretz, the money is worth less. So the halacha, that's the real reason. So the halacha declared that's not true. Money stays the same, al pidin. And the clothing is more expensive, and the real estate is more expensive, and the food is more expensive, and the automobiles are more expensive. So the rules and regulations, when do you say the value of the money changes, when do you say it doesn't change? So the shach has to, so this is relevant in Hilchas Ribis, relevant in Choshen Mish, but also when do you pay back the same amount, when do you pay back a different amount? Rav Moshe has tshuvas about this. Someone from Chinuch, I think someone from Leib La'achim, went to Morocco, I think, to get the children, to bring them to America to learn in yeshivas in America. So he borrowed Moroccan money, said he's going to pay back in American money, and the exchange rate changed. Moshe has a tshuva, you got to know the Gemaras, and Dinim and Shulchan Aruch about this. So the Shach makes his statement in Yeridah, in the middle of Hilchas Ribis, that kesef, there's kesef and there's shavu kesef. Everything in the world is divided into two categories, peira and tiva. Tiva is matbeya, kesh, and peira is commodities. That's the first daf in Perek Hazor. Everything is either peira or tiva. So what's considered matbeya, kesh? So kesef doesn't mean silver. If you have a solid bar of silver, that's shavu kesef. That's not kesef. Kesef means money. It doesn't have to be silver money. It can be, let's say, American money, coins or dollar bills or something. That's called kesef. Take, for example, pidyon mashishenu can only be done on kesef. It can't be done on shavu kesef. So the din is, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, and the matbeah hayotze b'ez medina, ashkolim, so you can be paid in mashishenu ashkolim. If you're in America and you have shkolim, in America shkolim are not recognized by the government in America as legal tender. You can't pay back a debt with shkolim unless the guy agrees to accept it. But you can't force him to accept it. American money you can force him to take. Even though I owe him $1,000, I'm going to give him 1,000 singles. And he wants a check for $1,000. Say, no, I want to pay him back $1,000 worth of pennies. $1,000 worth of quarters. It's legal tender, so I can pay it back whatever I want. But you can't use Israeli money in America for pidyon mashishenu, because it's not recognized as legal tender by the government here, so it's considered shavu kesef in America. That's a shaila. For many years, Rabbi Neuwirth, author of the Shemesh Abskal Chasa, was a yekke, and he was brought up together with all the yekkes, the old timers from Breuers. Most of them passed away already. He passed away also a couple of years ago. So he, every year, Breuers would print in their newsletter, it's called the Mitteilung. They were printed in the Rosh Hashanah edition of their newsletter. Rabbi Neuwirth gives all the member, whoever's a member of Breuers, gives you permission to use his Pruta Chamura for the purpose of Pidyon Mashishenu in America. But he has an Israeli coin. His Israeli coin was in Beit Vegan. He used to live in Beit Vegan. So that's a question. He had an Israeli coin in Eretz Yisrael. So, but we're doing Pidyon Mashishenu in America. So when you say Israeli coins are only considered matbeya in Eretz Yisrael because it's recognized by the government, that for sure you say Dina Machus Adina. There are different opinions how far Dina Machus Adina goes. So for taxation, for sure. Okay, and for minting coins, that's for sure, the shach. So everybody agrees. Dina Machus, it's only called matbeya if the government recognizes this as legal tender. So the question is, does it depend on where the coin is? The coin is in Beit Vegan. So it's an Israeli coin, Beit Vegan, it's kesef. Does it depend where the Maaseh Sheni is? Does it depend where the person is? So there are two girsas in the Gemara. There are three logical possibilities, but there are two girsas in the Gemara. So the Rambam and the Ravid. So the Rambam says it depends where the person is doing the Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni. So if the person is in America and the coins are in Eretz Yisrael, so it's called Shavu Kesef, so it's not acceptable. The Ravid says the Rambam had a wrong girsa. It's the Gemara in the end of Baba Kama. The Ravid says the Rambam's girsa is incorrect. It doesn't depend where the person is, it depends where the money is. That's the other girsa in the Gemara. So the Chazon Ish paskens la halacha like that. So that's where Rav Noivir did like that. There's one of the Batidinim in England also has such a system. If you call them up, you give them 2 minutes, so they give you permission to use their British matbeya for the purpose of Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni wherever you are. So their British coin is in Great Britain. That's fine, but we're in America. So British coins in America, they probably also shove a kesef. It's also not legal tender. So they're following the Chazon Ish paskens like the Ravid. The Ravid thinks that the Rambam's girsa is incorrect. So that's what they rely on. So that's important, that the Shach writes in Hilchos Ribbis that there is a machloikas in the end of Chashem Ish, but how far do you go with this principle of Dina de Machus Adina? But this everyone agrees. Let's say the government decides to introduce a new kind of a tax. So that's a big machloikas in Chashem Ish. Maybe only the old taxes that were there for Duri Duris, maybe that the government has a right to apply. That whole machlok is irrelevant today because we live in a democracy, so the taxes are not to enrich the government. The taxes are to cover the budget. So that's a midin shutfen. So that machlok is in Chashem Ish, but doesn't apply. Most countries are a democracy. So that machlok is maybe, what did I say before? Morocco. Maybe Morocco, the money does go to enrich the king. He has very expensive palaces. The king, they used to have kings in Morocco. The palaces are very expensive. The money went really to enrich the king. But in America, the president of the United States gets a salary. The Congress voted in the salary, and the mayor and the governor of New York State gets it. Everybody gets out there while they're working. You don't like the way they work, so don't vote them in next time. In America, the money doesn't go to enrich anybody. Money just goes to cover the budget. Whenever you have a democracy, so that whole machlokes and Chashem Ish, but they have a right to introduce new taxes or not, it's irrelevant. All the taxes are introduced by our representatives, and it's all to cover the budget. So that machlokes doesn't apply. So there is a dion, to what extent do you apply din and machlokes? And the Shach says, this everyone agrees. Minting coins, what's recognized as matbeah, as opposed to, as kesef, as opposed to shavah kesef, that depends on the government. The Torah Karta doesn't recognize the Israeli government. So they will not use Israeli coins for the purpose of Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni. They're consistent in their mishigas. Because it's only called a matbeah if it's declared as legal tender by the recognized government. They consider the Israeli government a bunch of pirates. So a bunch of pirates. The pirates have no right to make the Rambam. The pirates who mint coins, they're a bunch of gangsters. That's not called matbeah. That's called shavah kesef. It's not called kesef. So the lot of yeshiva bachrim, they learn in Eretz Yisrael, so they pick up the shtick. The Israeli government, they're all pirates. So you just ask them, are you ever paid the Ma'aseh Sheni on Israeli coins? Of course they do. Everybody does. Rabbi Yashiv did. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. Obviously you recognize the government. If the government has a bunch of pirates, he can't use them matbeah of the government for the purpose of Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni. That's the shach in Hilchus. And Hilchus Ribbis. I mentioned that the first tshuva in the first volume, there are three volumes of the Dvar Ram, the Kovner Rav. So the first tshuva is a long tshuva about Din and Machusa, and he has a footnote where he divides up the different cases. A lot of times the footnotes in scholarly essays are more valuable than the whole essay. So this footnote in the Dvar Ram's first tshuva is perhaps more valuable than much of what he writes in the tshuva itself. So he says it different. He writes minting coins is one issue, and the different collecting taxes is another issue of Din and Machusa. Another issue of Din and Machusa is can I be a policeman to work for the government and arrest the Jewish people on a crime, and they're going to put him in prison for 25 years. In Halacha, there is no such thing. You don't put the guy in prison for 25 years. Well, let's say the guy gamved. So the gamved, so you take Karen a K from the shine, and the government is going to put him in prison for 20 years. He cheated on taxes, whatever. that you have a right to work for the government. So the Rishonim say that that's not an Issa Mesira, and that is Dina the Machusa. That's covered with Dina the Machusa. Because there is a story in Bob Metzia, this is in the Marmakimus number 4. Story in Bob Metzia, Pei Gimel Amin Beis going covered to Pei Dalet Amin Aleph. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar, was hiding in the cave for a couple of years. He was hiding out the Tanoim, was sitting and talking once. The Gemara in Bama Madlikin tells on Daf Lama Gimel, Gemara says, they were talking about the Roman government, so everyone had their opinion. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai said a negative comment, that they're miserable people. So one of the Tanoim, by mistake, went and he told someone from the Roman government, so they were out to kill Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So he had to hide for years in a cave. So he was hiding, learning the Zohar with his son, Rav Lozer Reb Shimon. So what did that son do for a living later on? Rav Lozer Reb Shimon, what did he do for a living? He was a policeman for the Roman government. That's how he made a living. They needed a policeman who knew Yiddish, because they didn't speak Hebrew, so they couldn't catch any Jewish ganavim. So he knew Yiddish, he knew the Hebrew language. So he was the policeman. His special job was to arrest the Jewish ganavim. So whenever there would be a ganeva, so the Gemara tells what he would do whenever there would be a ganeva in town, he would look over breakfast, who's yawning, who's tired. If he's tired, means he didn't have a good night's sleep. So if he's a Talmid Chacham and he's tired, he's probably up late learning. If he wasn't a Talmid Chacham, he assumed that he was involved in the ganeva, and he would arrest them, and they would give the death penalty based on this circumstantial evidence. I'll say circumstantial, a guy's yawning by breakfast, and you put two and two together, he's the ganav, and they give him the death penalty. The Gemara says he was never wrong. Every single time he was right. And once one of the Ganon was screaming, "You're off your mind, I didn't do it." It turned out that he did 20 times Averis. He did everything. It was Boil Eshishish and Mechal Shabbos. He did everything. So you see that he gave all the Jewish people to the Roman police. Let's say if the New York government would have a law, he's not allowed to daven, and I'm going to master to the government that somebody daven. That's not against the Jewish law to daven. Have it, you're free to observe your religion. So if I master the guy to the government and they punish him for davening, that's mamish mesirah. That's shaloi kedin. That's not din in the malchusa. But if the fellow did not vary, he did geneva. And the din is that by b'nei noach, they have a right to give the death penalty for a ganav. The Gemara says, Azarasam zui misosam. A ben noach who violates any one of the seven mitzvahs deserves to get the death penalty. So a Jew is not supposed to get the death penalty, but the Goyish government has the right to give the death penalty to a Jew if they catch him doing an Eva. So the Gemara says that he didn't do wrong. It's just that Elio Anovi appeared to him in another Tana, and he said, it's not a nice job for a nice Jewish boy. Get a better job. Let the Rabbanu Shalom punish all of these Ganovim. Yovah Balakerem Yachales HaKotzim in HaKerem. As if there's a vineyard, the Jewish people have a vineyard, and these Rishoyim who do Geneva, whatever Averis they do, as if they're the thorns in the vineyard and they're ruining the whole vineyard. So Eliyahu Hanavi told Rav Lozer, Rav Shimon, Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, it's not nice that you have such a job, but he didn't tell them it's against the din. So that's what the Shita Mekubetzes on Bava Metzia points out. And Daf Pei Gimel and the Chiddush Aran and Sanhedrin and Daf Nan Vav, they point out that the Yisif in the Gemara, there's no prohibition. There's no din of Mesira over here. Mesira is if the guy did Shaloika din. Mesira in the days of the Gemara was, the government wants to hold up, they want to steal the money from the rich Jews, but they don't know who's rich. So everybody on Shabbos, everybody dresses nicely. In the weekdays, everybody dresses the same way. They don't know who's rich and who's poor. So they ask me, who has a lot of money? So I say, this guy has millions of dollars stuffed in his mattress. So they go to his home and they steal his money. They have no right to steal his money. So if I masid, if I tell the government who's rich and who's poor, that's mesirut, because it's going to take away his money, shaloika din. But if a guy did an avera, so that's not really mesirut. What it says in Shulchan Aruch is, let's say there's a court case. I worked in a nursing home. I kept the books in the nursing home. And then they destroyed the books because they were doing Gedeva Shishtik. They were collecting money from the government for the people who died. And they kept on collecting money as if they're still alive. It was the Shtik here in America. And the government knows that I know all the information. And they said they're gonna put me in prison if I don't tell them who is the ganav over here, who is doing illegal things. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that under such circumstances, since it'll be a chilul Hashem if I don't tell them, because it'll mean that the Jews are just covering up on the other Jews. So that's a chilul Hashem. We all cover up on each other, even though the guy's stealing money from the government. So that's a chilul Hashem. So the mokum chilul Hashem, you're allowed to give back aveda sakum. Otherwise, you're not supposed to give back. Hashavas Aveda is a special mitzvah that only applies if the one who lost the Aveda is a Yisroel. If he's a Nochri, there's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Unless there's a case of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. So, if the government is looking for a criminal, and I'm going to help them find the criminal, so that's called Aveda Sakum. So you're not supposed to help them find their criminal. But if it's a situation, they know that I know the information. I worked in the nursing home, that they have evidence. They know that I'm just covering up on another Jew, so that's considered a chilul Hashem. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that in such a case, I have to testify. I remember years ago when they were having all of these trials, there were a lot of Jews who were in the field of nursing homes, and there were, unfortunately, a lot of Jews were cheating the government, and they were stealing money from the government. So a lot of times the government knew that this guy worked in the nursing home, he can testify. So there was an issue whether they're allowed to testify or not. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, you have to testify, because Aveda Sakum and Mokum Chil Hashem, you have to tell him.
So
in Hilchas Edus, that there's a din of Imlo Yagidim and Asavai, no? So you're not allowed to, let's say, a guy wants me to testify that he should win a court case against the Jew. So Aveda Sakum, I'm not mechuyev to help him get his money. But if the judge knows that I know the information, it's in the Lamed. In Kleshemish, with the beginning, the Lamed and Hilchas Edus. So I remember there was a psak hanging on the wall in the Beis Medrash across the street, on the third floor and first hall, that a psak from some Hasidish at Beis Din in Williamsburg, and they quote chapter and verse, they quote this sif in Shulchan Aruch, and they say that it's in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to testify. It says just the opposite. Just the opposite. It says the Farish, you have to testify in such a case, because that's considered a chil Hashem, that the judge will say, they'll write up in all the newspapers, the Jews are just covering up on each other, even though they know that they're criminals.
I heard the Aruch Shulchan says that Sirah Lekashayim, the government's totally corrupt. Does that mean that there's no case of a Sirah if the government's not corrupt? Is that...
Whenever the punishment is Kedin, whenever it's Kedin, so then there's no din of Mesirah.
Like the
Mahostina
is fair, if it's
if
fair.
If the laws are fair, yeah.
That's how do you judge that?
If the taxation is fair. So some people say, well, the American government, all the laws are unfair because they support the Arabs. The government has a right to support the Arabs. They're not, they need oil. The country needs, years ago they needed the Arabs more than they needed the Jews. Maybe now they need the Jews more than the Arabs. Every country has to decide whom they want to support based on their personal interest. So if they want to support the Arabs, that's their right. You don't like it, so move to South Africa. We'll move somewhere else. But if you live in this country, the taxation is fair. They have a right to choose to support the Arabs. You make a political decision based on what's best for your country. So the Rabbanim said, you don't have to pay taxes in America because the government, the laws are unfair because the State Department always supports the Arabs. It's probably not true. Even though publicly they say they support the Arabs, but they support Israel much more all along. And even if it were true, the government has the right to support whatever country they want. It's not considered unfair.
So, maybe you have to be a Talmid Chacham if you want to be a Shoter Ivri. Because how are you supposed to know? You have to ask a Shaila,
right?
And also, if I may ask...
Moshe Feinstein has a Shaila. A fellow has a job working for the... for the tax department, and he reviews tax forms, and he finds that there are Jews cheating on income taxes. He allowed a master to go. He said yes. He said based on Igmar, that's not Messiah. It's not a nice job for a nice Jewish boy. So if you can get a better job, you can get a better job. But over here, that's not his. See, Rav Lozer Reb Shimon, his specialty was he was the policeman to arrest only Jews. The guy works for the IRS, doesn't only arrest the Jews. He investigates everybody. He's Jewish, so he knows how to investigate the Jews better. He knows the shtickel and the redlock that they do. And when they write down that they gave charitable donations to organizations that he knows don't exist, so he can chop better than a nachri, that such a yeshiva, such a shul doesn't exist, okay?
So,
but strictly speaking, Rav Moshe, right, that's not nasir.
And if I may go back to the currency question, the original shekel is shekel kesef, shekel zahav, so it has an inherent worth, so it's also a transfer of value, right? But today's currency is based on credit, so it's a different discussion altogether.
Right, that is a discussion, whether paper money has a din of kesef or shtar. Yeah. Why? So they explain, in some countries, the $10 bill is bigger than the $1 bill, and the $100 bill is bigger than the $10 bill, and the $1,000 bill is bigger. So if it's intrinsically, it's worth more money, even though the $1,000 bill is not worth $1,000. It's only a piece of paper. But it's worth more than the $100 bill, and so on, so that's called kesef. But by us, all the bills are the same size and the same value, intrinsic value, piece of paper. So there's a discussion in the Chasam Sotra whether that's considered kesef or not. So we assume that it is considered kesef. We don't consider that that's considered shtar. Paper money is a legal tender. It says so.
It's tied to the market rate of the currency.
Right.
So what do we pass? What's the final psak with the pidyon?
We wouldn't use paper money for pidyon haben or for pidyon ma'aseh sheni because you're not allowed to use shtaros.
But could you say, can you do the pidyon? We'll say on the 10th of July in 2016, this was the value, the market value. So can we create intrinsic value? We'll just earmark it to that date. So there's no difference between a shekel kesef or a shekel or if it's a shtar worth, because it has an exact value. We'll just say, I'll give you this in monetary value, so you won't have to use a.
Wait a minute, if the legitimate government declares this paper money, these coins, as legal tender, so that has the halacha, that's considered kesef.
So there is a right.
Yeah.
For order of pidyon.
Yeah. For Issa the Heter, for pidyon aben, and for pidyon ma'aseh sheni, so the minig always was that they never used paper money. Strictly speaking, should have been able to use paper money. So the meaning was that they don't. But for all other intents and purposes, we consider paper money as kesef. We don't consider it shtar.
Does the Rebbe have a feeling on why certain things we've seen in certain, especially with situations of abuse or different things, that almost the concept of Masira has almost been corrupted?
Sure, it's been corrupted.
I'm saying,
they make a joke out of the whole thing. I remember once, I'm rarely in my office. Remember when my office was across the street in the first floor? So I was hardly ever. One day I was in my office for 2 minutes and put my coat there. So the phone rang. It's some Irish judge calling from Brooklyn. He said, "This Rabbi Shechter." I said, "Yes." "Yes." He read my essay in English. "According to Jewish law, is there a violation? Is there anything wrong if a Jew tells about another who testifies?" I said, "No, if the guy's guilty." He said, "Thank you very much. That's the din. It's not Masira. If the guy's stealing money from the government, he's stealing money from me because he cheats on income tax in a big way. That's why I pay higher income tax. He's stealing from me. So I have a right to testify if I know information." There's no Issa Masira. Masira is always one of Shaloi Kedin. Sometimes what will be Shaloi Kedin is, let's say, if you go to there's a difference between a state prison and a federal prison. The state prisons, a lot of times, are mamush, are free for all. So you have inmates will beat each other up, or they'll molest them sexually, or they'll threaten to kill someone else unless his family pays money to my family. That goes on my simchal yom, and the guard, the prison guard, can decide he doesn't like you. He can beat you up. He can almost kill you and get away with it. So state prisons are hefker. Federal prisons are a daf yomi, a lot kosher. It's like a hotel. It's a different story. So if someone's going to go to a state prison, that's taka shaila. If I'm going to testify, a person go to a state prison, that could be that is masirah, even though that's what he deserves, to go to prison. But the government is going to give him a bigger punishment than what he really deserves. He's going to get on the books. He's just being put in prison, but off the books, he's going to be suffering much more. But if you're going to put a guy into federal prison, the pashto says that that's not really masirah. It was reported in the name of the Chazon Ish, and it was the Minchas Yitzchak has a whole tshuva about this. He documents it. Chazanish had an opinion. We don't. He writes, Michazit's right. We don't really accept this from the Chazanish. He had a big chiddush. We all pay our taxes, and then the government has government offices, so they have tables and chairs and pencils and pads of paper. So who does it belong to? So we assume it belongs to the government. So years ago, it belonged to the king. There would be king and the queen. I don't know. There would be a few people who owned everything. But today, if you have a democracy, it doesn't belong to the Queen of England. It belongs to the government. So is there such an ownership as Chal Hashem government? So the Chazanish had a chiddush that if you can walk into a government office and walk off with some furniture and pads of paper and pens, you're not stealing from anybody because it doesn't belong to anybody. No such thing as the government owning things. If there's a king and the king owns, that's ownership. Belongs to the government now. That opinion has not been accepted. We assume that there is such a thing as a Chal Hashem government who owns property. Because the Yester Minchas Yitzchok, he was the Dayan Weissman Deda Haredes. For many years he was before the war he was a rabbi in Hungary. And Klein Vadayan, I think. And then after the war he was in Manchester. He was a Dayan in Manchester. And then Deda Haredes took him to be the Gaiver, the Goyen HaBezna of Deda Haredes. So he says the practice in itself for many generations was that Tunuva, I think even before Hakamas HaMedina, that Tunuva would buy up all the produce from the farmers, and then they would appoint the Shliach to be Mafish Shumas and Mises. So what do you mean? Tunuva is a government organization. So if you say the government can't own anything, so everything is Hefker, so he can't be Mafish Shumas and Mises on Hefker. So that's what he has to cash it to Dayan Weiss. So he said, the answer is, we don't pass like the Chazanish. All the Gedolim, before the Chazanish, for many generations, held not so. Chazanish has a fascinating comment. In one place he writes, some sociologists claim that money is an evil of society. That if there wouldn't be an institution of money, people wouldn't be so loathed after money and so on. If you would go back to the old system and you have barter, and you would, no one would have money, and you wouldn't be able to accumulate such wealth, it would be a better world we live in. So he says he doesn't think, hashkafa-wise, that that's correct. And the fact that you have dinim in the Torah that require dafke money, that pidyon ma'aser sheni needs dafke kesef and shavah kesef is no good, and machzah shekel also needs dafke kesef and shavah kesef is no good. So you see that in the ideal society, it is important to have. In the perfect world, it is important to have matbeis, to have kesef, not just to have shove kesef. Let me just conclude with this. We don't have time to cover everything here. One is obligated to pay when you buy something and there's a sales tax. So the merchant is mechuyav to pay the sales tax. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say that if I want to go to a store and I know that they don't charge tax, so that's a violation of Lifnei Iver. I'm going to that store, so he should tell me the violation is on the merchant. He's not taking the sales tax. So he said, that's an Issa. If you know you're mechuyif to pay tax and you dray your way out of it, if there's a legal way to dray out of it, so dray. But if it's illegal, so then he said it's really a violation of Lifnei Iver because you really are mechuyif to pay sales tax. Okay, Dina Machusa is a serious issue. Very good. Got to run to Dav Mincha?
No, we have downstairs. Thank
in the base Medrash?
Yeah.
Good.
Am I standing, or is there anyone specific who was not here who would want me to send them the shir? Okay, how do I? Okay.